Well, let's hear God's word once more, the 23rd Psalm. This is God's holy and inspired word. Please give it your full attention. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we're so thankful that You've given us this day of resurrection in which we can gather together to worship You in spirit and truth. Thank You for those who are gathered here. Do pray, Lord, that You would be with me, that I, as I am Your servant to bring the word this morning, that I would not do this of my own strength, but look to You, knowing that it's all of Christ and the work of His Spirit. And we do pray for all those who receive this word. We do pray, Lord, that we would put away from our hearts and our minds the things that so occupy us during our days and weeks, and that we would focus upon You and know that You are our eternal good. You are our Savior. You're our Creator. You're our Consummator. You are the one who is all and will be all in all in heaven. And You are the one who is with us now by Your Spirit as we worship in the presence of the risen Christ. And this we do pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm hearing an echo. Do I need to turn the one mic off? Or okay. As you can tell, I'm kind of loud to begin with. Can you hear me? Okay, I'll do that. But you can't hear me. So let's see. Okay, let's see here. I have it back on. Is that better? Okay, good. It was around 2 years ago this time. I was at a presbytery meeting. I'm from Ohio, and I was in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church Presbytery of Ohio meeting. And I received a phone call, and it was from Bill and my good friend Mark Bube, and Mark informed me. He said, Danny, the OPC administrative offices have just had a COVID outbreak, and I had just been there. And I received that word, and I told the rest of the men, you know, I need to leave because there's been a COVID outbreak. 10 days later, my blood oxygen levels in the 70s. I entered Abington Hospital in Philadelphia. The diagnosis was very severe. I had not only COVID, I had pneumonia in both lungs, and I had a blood clot in my left lung. There was a heightened sense to the moment, you know, as you're laying there and all these people are scrambling around you and you have the air mask on. My blood oxygen level was so low, they actually had double masks on me and on high. But in the heightened sense of that moment, the Lord was merciful to me because what He put on my heart in that situation was the 23rd Psalm. If He was going to take me to Himself, I could think of no better pillow for dying. That He was either going to preserve me to serve Him in this life, or I would be with Him. And so that gave me peace, that gave me a calm. So they told me, as I was there and I was close to going on a ventilator, I was not going to go on that ventilator. And I said to them, how should I lay? And they said, well, with COVID, you lay on your stomach, because that's actually how the inflammation comes out. It's the best way. And so at this point, from everything, I had 30% capacity in my lungs. But I laid on my stomach, and for the next 72 hours, every 2 hours, I just rotate over to the other side. And during that period, I would recite the 23rd Psalm. And breathe and recite the 23rd Psalm. Well, the Lord was very, very merciful to me. And after about 5 days, I finally was able to actually set up out of the bed and start to think about preaching. And I thought I'll preach on the 23rd Psalm. And so that's what I'd like to do this morning, to preach on the 23rd Psalm. Because when it comes to the pilgrimage of this life, as Bill has said this morning, there's so much suffering. And how do we get through this life? It's very painful. I can only, even in preaching this sermon, even in telling you that background, I know that there are those who did not make it out of hospitals. And I know that there are those who have gone to be with the Lord. But how do we have that faithfulness to go forward? It's knowing that the Lord is our shepherd. So that's what I'd like to proclaim to you this morning from God's Word, that the Lord is our shepherd, that He is the one who looks out over us. He is the one who protects us. He is the one who cares for us. And He's not just any shepherd. He's our shepherd. Amen. It's very personal. Amen. The Lord is our shepherd, and He provides for us. Here's the thing, as we start and as we look at the 23rd Psalm this morning, and I don't want you to misunderstand this, because the Lord is the one who provides for our earthly needs. He blesses us so abundantly. We do not go hungry. The Lord is with us. But in this psalm, what it's talking about here at the beginning is not the things of this world. That's not what's in view. It's not the things that are passing away. Listen to what the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther said about Psalm 23. The world glories in trust and honor, power, riches, and the favor of men. Our psalm, however, glories in none of these, for they are all uncertain and perishable. The Lord is my shepherd speaks a sure, a certain faith, which turns its back on everything temporal and transitory. In other words, when you're confessing that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, you are looking to the Lord God, the one who reigns in heaven. You are looking to the Lord God, and you are confessing, in Him I have everything I need in this life. Whether things are going really poorly, like you're laying on a hospital bed and everyone there thinks you're going to die, or if you are in perfect health and you're in the prime of your life and your job's going well and your relationship's going well, either way, what is in view is that this life is about the Lord. And the Lord is my shepherd. And He's the one you direct your gaze to. And He's the one who leads you in the pilgrimage of this life. And see, that's greater than any silver and gold.
Amen.
You can't put a price upon that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Luther got it. He understood. It's not about temporal things which are passing away. It's about eternal things. It's about the blessings that come from only knowing the Lord and being in union and communion with Him. And that makes all the difference. The doctors later would tell me, they all would come up and talk to me, and they said, you were so calm and you were so positive. And I said, it was an incredible opportunity to witness. And I said, that's because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. You know, I had a living hope. And it was a tremendous opportunity to get to speak to those doctors and to the nurses. When you're in the hospital for almost a month, the shifts start to, you start to recognize personnel. And there were those, the word got around that I was a Christian. And finally the mask came off and I could talk to them. And so I would even have nurses that would come in. And I had one, a Baptist brother, and he would sing hymns the whole time he was coming in and helped during the night and things like that. But so that's what this psalm is getting to. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You get, by looking to Him, there's a heavenly stability to your life. You know, and you know, one of the great statements in, or at least one of the ones that always fascinates me, when you come to the book of Revelation, is when you start to, the beloved disciple there, is talking about the promise of the new heavens and the new earth. And he also makes the declaration, there'll be no more sea. There's no more change. There's no more... the sea is representing that which is turbulent and that which causes chaos. In heaven, there's no longer any of that.
Hallelujah.
Because the Lord God reigns. And there's no more sin and there's no more death. So that's how you start this psalm, is knowing that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And to realize that you're looking to Him, and as you're looking to Him, you are knowing that He has blessed you with that which is eternal. And then that supplies then the stability in your pilgrimage. Because He is the one, He is the shepherd then, who makes me lie down beside green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So, I grew up in eastern Ohio. On a farm, eastern Ohio, a cattle farm. It was my grandfather's farm. And so I have no experience with sheep. But I have experience with cattle and did grow up on the farm. Now, my grandparents were separated at the time. And so my grandfather got on a ship in 1927 from Germany and came to America without telling his family. In Germany at the time, the poverty was so severe, he didn't know how he could ever live there. It was so horrific. He didn't speak a word of English. He traveled, got to America, traveled till he came to a German-speaking place in eastern Ohio where he could shoe horses. My grandmother was a first-generation German girl there, and she would bring her father's horses to my grandfather, and they fell in love and got married. But when World War II came, they both had the entirety of their families, so their brothers, fighting on other sides. All the brothers that my grandfather had left in Germany fought on one side. All of my grandmother's brothers fought on the other side, and they all died. and they never forgave one another. And so they waited until the last child of 11 was graduated, and they separated. Here is this family. I remember asking my grandfather later, witnessing to him about Christ, and he just believed that there couldn't be a God because there was so much pain, and he'd gone through so much pain in the world. I grew up in on top of this hill on this farm with my mother in a trailer, and my grandparents were separated, and so occasionally my grandmother they were spunky. They had a work ethic like you wouldn't believe. So in order to get back at my grandfather, one summer she decided to raise sheep. And she only did that because the way they eat the grass in the pasture affects the cattle. You really don't have sheep and cattle on the same pasture field. So I don't have any experience with sheep, but I do with cattle. But there's a wonderful book that I would recommend by J. Douglas Macmillan called The Lord Our Shepherd, that you should read. It's about the 23rd Psalm. And the reason why there's wonderful books written on the 23rd Psalm, as a matter of fact, I have a number of them on my shelf. But the reason why I recommend this one, Macmillan's The Lord is My Shepherd, is because he was a shepherd. From the ages of 12 to 25, he shepherded in Scotland. And so it's very concrete to him in coming to this psalm. The Lord then lay on his heart at age 25 to become a pastor. And so he went off to school. But Macmillan states the very hardest thing for any shepherd to do, or at least for him, was getting the sheep to lie down, to rest. Because they can't hide, they can't fight, and they can't run. They're so vulnerable, and they won't rest. And isn't that the way with us? We're so vulnerable. We know how we can't escape certain things, and we just are so rattled. We have a shepherd who brings us to places of rest. makes us lie down beside still waters. He leads us to those places which are lush and green and feeds us. This is what the Lord, our shepherd, does. And so we need to know that when things are beyond us, when things are such that can bring us just to a point of anxiety. The Lord, our shepherd, wants to give us peace. He wants to give us rest. And that's what he does. But here's the thing that Macmillan also says. So on the one hand, you're a shepherd. You spend the whole day trying to get them to rest. But yet, here's what sheep also do. They'll look for a soft spot. And they'll go and look for a soft spot. And this is the most deadly thing that can happen. So on the one hand, you're trying to get them to rest. On the other hand, if they go away from the flock and find a soft spot, they become what's called cast. And so what that means is they'll find a really squishy soft spot. They'll lie down and they cannot get their legs back up under them. And because they cannot get their legs back up under them, the blood stops flowing. And once the blood stops flowing to their three stomachs, it's a fatal position. So you can't, as a shepherd, you have to rescue them and restore them. Isn't that what we do in this life? Don't we look for the soft spot? apart from God's word, and it's a deadly position. But we have a shepherd that seeks us out when we are cast, and he restores us. He raises us up. I mean, what a shepherd that we have. And then he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So, I'll tell you what I did all of my youth. As a teenager, it seemed like every week, the cattle would be out in Ohio. You had fences, they get out of the fence, and you would herd them back in. Well, here's the wonderful thing about the Lord our shepherd. He doesn't herd anyone. He's not a cowboy. He doesn't drive us from behind. Do you know what the Lord our shepherd does? He goes in front of us. So unlike Eastern Ohio, Palestine, you didn't have fences. You had paths. And the shepherd would go in front of the sheep. And he would go in front of the sheep to protect the sheep from enemies. And he'd also go in front of the sheep to make sure that they didn't get into places that they shouldn't. So in other words, you would be going forward on this path, and to the right, you might have the crops that have been planted. If the sheep gets into those crops, it's the shepherd who would have to pay the cost. But they could graze, say, to the left. So here's the shepherd going down in front of the sheep, not herding them, leading them, protecting them, but also directing them to that place where they can feed. This is what our shepherd does. And we're told also he does it in the text for his name's sake. Do you know what that means? It's so staggering. It means that he's staking his entire reputation upon the sheep getting to their goal. The entire reputation is staked upon he will deliver them to the proper place. Going before them, defending them from his and their enemies, he's doing this. It's incredible. Amen. Everything that this shepherd is doing here, it is just amazing. And he's leading us in the path of righteousness. Not just any path, the path of life. The path of righteousness. I mean, we always want to stray. We want to seek that soft spot. We're always rattled by the things of this life. But here's the shepherd who at every moment, in every situation, is there for us. And he's staking his reputation upon getting us to that destiny that is before us. It's amazing how much he loves us, how much he is invested in us. But I want you to know this. I've never preached with a song. I didn't know this when I picked Psalm 23 to preach for you. But you could look up on the beams and you could actually see how something changes. So this is 6-5. That beam right there, the fourth beam. Things change. And I want you to know how things change in regard to the pronouns. Because you see, in the first three verses, David is talking about the shepherd. But in the last three verses, he is talking to the shepherd. So, in the opening three verses, the pronouns are in the third person. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. Once you get to the fourth verse, however, it's in the second person. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, it's one thing to talk about the shepherd. But what happens when we are in the darkest of valleys and life is as tough as it could possibly be? It's another thing to be able to talk to the shepherd. to come to Him in prayer, to know that He is with you as you go through that shadow, that valley. Now, notice here also in our text, it doesn't say we will face no evil. It doesn't say that. There is evil in this age, this fallen age. There's sin all around. But what we're told here, as we come to the shepherd in prayer, is that we need not fear any evil, because He is with us. He is going to care for us. And one of the ways we see it here is that His rod and His staff, they comfort us. So again, it's very helpful to think of what a shepherd does and who a shepherd is. And you've probably seen, either have experienced farming or have seen portraits or whatever. A shepherd, no one on a farm walks around with two instruments in either hand. You do not do that. And I can tell you this, growing up, you walk around with one instrument. And see, what you do is it has different uses. See, the shepherd carries a stick. So you would often spend the winter working on this instrument. You would find something that had a little hook to it often, and they would often, you know, just work on it over the winter. So you have it for the next year. But what it is, it's when the sheep are doing what they should do, it's a rod. You tap them on the head. It corrects them out of love. You don't want to do that. And then when they fall into a marsh, you flip that around and the little hook to pull them out. That's what the shepherd does here. Sometimes we need the discipline that the Father who loves us. Other times we need that rescue. But that's what's going on here, this shepherd. And then we have an anointing. We actually come to the table of the Lord here. It's amazing in itself, too. And so we're here. We've come to the psalm talking about the shepherd. Now we're talking to the shepherd. He is with us as we go through this valley. His rod and his staff, the comfort. And then He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Now, there's a little sense here in which you need to read this, that there's a little bit of a taunt here. Sometimes we don't think about that in the 23rd Psalm. But there's a little bit of a taunt going on here. In other words, do you know that the Lord is building His church, and that there's nothing that Satan can do about it? Right. And you know what's taking place right now? The Lord is feeding His flock.
Amen.
By the word, and we will partake of the sacraments, and there's not a single thing Satan can do about it.
Hallelujah.
In the presence of our enemies, the witness of what the Lord is doing goes forth. And that's what this is testifying to here. In what blessings we have, even as we partake of this now, even as we look forward to that time when we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Pastor Bill is exactly right. It is pursue. It is pursue. And he's exactly right that the imagery you should think of, or one of the great imagery, you should think of hounds. You should think of dogs. I grew up where my uncles, again, on that farm. You're learning all about me in my background. They would go hunting at night. They would work during the day and on the farm and stuff, and they'd go hunting at night. And they had the greatest hunting dogs you've ever seen. They would go anywhere following my uncles. Isn't it incredible? The Word of God is telling you that the goodness and mercy of the Lord is following you, pursuing you in that way,
yes,
no matter where you go in this life. You're never alone. You see, that's what's going on in the pilgrimage of this life. The Lord our shepherd, we're rattled. He calms us down. We get into places we shouldn't. He restores us. We go and down the path of life. He is leading us and He's staking His reputation on it. He's the one that we can come to in prayer in the deepest of valleys. When we stray and need the discipline of the Lord, He's there. When we need rescuing, He's there. He feeds us with His Word. He anoints a table for us. We feed upon Him. And His goodness and mercy are with us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Luther's right. This isn't about passing away things. It's about the Lord God and the eternal blessings that He showers upon us even now. But here's the question, friends. How is this possible? Think again of this psalm. You can go down the pillars above us. We're always rattled in this life. We're always jealous of what we don't have. We're always thinking about the temporal things as defining our life. We're straying from that narrow path. We're not thinking about the Lord's reputation, His love for us. We're just thinking about ourselves. We're those who fall short. We despise at times the discipline of the Lord. We don't love as we should. We don't think He is with us. We don't think His goodness and mercy are following us. And then we don't believe, have confidence in the Word changing hearts and the Spirit at work as He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. How is it possible that such goodness and mercy are ours? Because you know what we are? We're sheep. And you know what the Word of God declares? You know what the prophet Isaiah declares? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. That's what each of us have done. Each of us have turned to his own way. But here's the gospel. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
Hallelujah.
Of course, you know who the shepherd is. It's Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd. He's the one that went to the cross that our sins might be forgiven. But here's the thing about Jesus. He's not only the good shepherd. He's the seeking shepherd. Have you ever thought about that? He is the seeking. You never would have sought Him out. You would not have loved Him unless He first loved you. You would not have come to Him unless He first drew you to Himself. He's the seeking shepherd. And do you know how much He loves you? Each and every one of you who believe in Him. Do you know how much He loves you? Do you remember that parable in the Gospels where Jesus tells His disciples about which one of you has 100 sheep, if one of them is lost, does not go out and rescue the one and puts him over his shoulder and returns rejoicing? That's what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus Christ has sought you out when you were lost. Jesus Christ has sought you out not when you were lost, but sought you out when you were lost and your sins deserve the wrath of God. He's the seeking shepherd, but He is also the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. And that is what Jesus Christ has done. He has laid down His life for you. He declares, I am the good shepherd. That's what He has done. He has taken the wrath of God that we deserve, and He has bore it that we might be cleansed and that we might have life with Him. Jesus Christ is the seeking shepherd who gathers a remnant flock. He is the good shepherd who bore our sins with a grand purpose. But He is also the great shepherd. Have you ever thought about this? He is the great shepherd. Do you know where we get that language in the New Testament?
We get it from Hebrews chapter 13, where the writer of Hebrews declares that the God of peace has brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of an eternal covenant. Now, that's such a benediction. It's so encouraging. But you know what in the Old Testament where that's found? Do you know where the writer of Hebrews is referring to? It's actually Isaiah again. It's actually a prophecy of Isaiah. And it's the 63rd chapter. And do you know what's going on in Isaiah chapter 63? Isaiah is declaring that Moses was the shepherd that the Lord used to bring the people out of captivity to Pharaoh, out of bondage there in Egypt. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, as he looks at the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, as grand as Moses was, Jesus is better. Jesus is a better shepherd. But there's one more thing I want you to think about in this Isaiah 63 in Moses, and then going back to how Jesus is a better shepherd. Do you know why we're told in Isaiah 63, it's like a commentary on the book of Exodus, why the Lord delivered his people? Why he had Moses deliver the people there? It was in order to make the name of the Father glorious.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, the better shepherd, has led a better exodus. No longer are we in captivity to Pharaoh in Egypt. Jesus has delivered us from the captivity of sin and death. That's what Jesus Christ has done with his death upon the cross, his resurrection of the dead. To what end, friends? To what end? Why have you been delivered? It's an order right here, right now, to make the name of the Lord glorious. That's why, that's your purpose. And this is what the great shepherd of the sheep has done. Jesus is the seeking shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. Jesus also is the chief shepherd. And then when the chief shepherd appears, 1 Peter chapter 5, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. What is lacking in this pilgrimage? Nothing. Jesus provides everything we need in this life and the one to come. Now, when it was a question, I was laying on that hospital bed whether I could go on breathing or not. Wasn't thinking about my favorite sports team. Bill knows for me being from Ohio, I love the Buckeyes. I wasn't thinking a bit about that. I wasn't thinking about the repairs that needed to take place in my home. I wasn't thinking about any of the same things that charm us most. Thinking about the blessed reality that Jesus Christ was my shepherd. And part of the reason that I wanted to, if the Lord preserved me, is to preach upon this psalm, is also the realization that the blessing that comes by belonging to a church that preaches that. I know that OPC does not stand for Only Perfect Church. We are sinners. We're sinners who do not deserve the blessing of the Lord. But there's nothing... Do you realize how blessed you are?
Yes, hallelujah.
There's nothing like the gospel. When I was on that hospital bed, it wasn't going to be Jesus, the moral example, Jesus the good man, Jesus the philanthropist, Jesus the philosopher that was going to save me. That's not where our hope is. It's only in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world to save sinners. You can't put a price upon that. You cannot put a price upon it. It's life-changing. It changes everything when you know that. When you know Jesus is your shepherd.
not just any shepherd, your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then to live in light of that, to make the name of God glorious. And knowing that the Lord is going before you at all times. That's blessing. So that's what my encouragement to you from the Word of God is, to carry around with you in your hearts. And as you live that way, you're going to go the opposite direction of the world. The world doesn't think like this. The world's all about me. And the world's all about this life is the only life. And the world's all about what have you done for me lately. This is the opposite of the world. And you have an anointing by the Spirit. My cup overflows. You have an anointing by the Spirit that is sufficient and abundant to go forth and to live for a way that brings glory to God. And if you live in this way, you have opportunity to speak to others about Jesus Christ. How can you, they'll say to you, how can you be so optimistic in light of the suffering? It's because you know that you have Christ, the Good Shepherd, and He is the one who is with me at all times. So that's what you can say to others. And so that's my encouragement to you. Sometimes, you know, this is like John 3:16. This is like Ephesians 1. Sometimes the passages that are most familiar can become rote. They can become something that we know, but here's the amazing thing about the Word of God is that we could have read it 100 times today. I think it would have been precious every time, because the Word of God and the Spirit is always having its work upon your heart. And as you believe and as you come to an end of yourself, you're being more molded more and more into the image of the Savior. And as you do that, that Word is penetrating and it is changing your life and it is preparing you for that day when you will be in the house of the Lord forever. And there, you will have no confusion about what life is about, and no more pain and no more suffering. For you there, as you dwell with the Lord and you feast with Him, you're going to praise His name forever, and you truly will make the name of the Lord glorious.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, as we come to the table this morning, we do pray that we would put our hope in Christ, that one who alone is our Savior, that one who alone has died for our sins. Oh Lord, we do thank you again for this blessed word, and we now thank you for the sacrament. We do pray, Lord, again, as we prepare to receive it, that we would look upon heaven above and know that this is where our hope is found, in our Savior. And it's in His name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.